Steve, thanks. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune, to talk about what happened politically yesterday. We were just saying off air, Kristen, and I want to bring it on air as well. It seems like this particular election has been going on for years. We still have 8 months to go until the November election, but it just seems this time around, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the subject matter or the candidates or what. It just seems like we've been in this particular election for years now.
It does. It feels like it started in 1932.
Right.
No, we were just saying that the first, you know, when this, when all of this jumped on my radar was the first GOP debate that Fox News held, and that was in early August, and that was the where Trump and Megyn Kelly sort of got into it about some of Trump's comments about women. I mean, August.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a long road, and sure feels that way.
Last night, if you look at what happened, no major surprises, right? Was there anything that happened yesterday that really stood out as a shocker to anybody?
I don't think so. I mean, there are the close race between Clinton and Bernie Sanders in Illinois. That was a little bit surprising.
This
is surprising. Her home state. And there was a time early in the night where I thought, oh, my gosh, she might lose. There were a lot of questions on national media about her and the connection to Rahm Emanuel. And so I think there's a whole backstory there about, you know, that Rahm was really a drag on the ticket, which is probably sort of new territory for him. Statewide, you know, I think the reflection that I think is true about elections oftentimes, we rail against our government. We talk, you know, we have this whole term limits, throw the bums out, and then we reelect all the incumbents.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened. Mike Madigan did really well last night, the House Speaker, all of his races. You know, he reelected a lot of the same caucus members and beat back Governor Bruce Rauner, who had tried to insert some more rebellious Democrats. So, you know, I guess we can't complain too much about our representation if we keep voting the same people in.
And Anita Alvarez took a big hit, which you kind of knew was coming, all the protests and everything. Well, this is why you have a voice when you vote.
Exactly. I mean, I think Anita Alvarez is a very talented prosecutor, but when you make big missteps, which I think she did, that she was still unable to explain why she waited until the videotape was released to actually charge that officer. There's
in
a price
Laquan
to
McDonald.
In the Laquan McDonald case, exactly, who was shot 16 times by an officer, and it took 14 months for charges to actually come
of murder
about.
That
of
did
murder.
Go down.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't mind, go back just a second for me to the link between Hillary Clinton and Mayor Emanuel. Is that the sort of thing, if you get if she becomes the candidate for the Democratic side, does the Republican side, probably Trump, but if it's not Trump, whoever's on the Republican side, does that become an issue, the fact that she's got some history with Rahm Emanuel? Do they play that out even bigger?
I could see it happening. I mean, I don't know that it would play outside of Illinois, but I think around here, I mean, the Laquan McDonald shooting was an international story. And so if you can somehow kind of rev up that whole Black Lives Matter movement and start to subtract some of her support from her African-American base, which is really important, it could be somewhat damaging to her.
Yeah.
So John Kasich scores really well in his home state of Ohio. But what does that mean?
You know, it gives
it too late.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when Ted Cruz won Texas, it gives you a little bump. You get a little more press. You get a little more attention. You have people saying, you know, why haven't we been paying attention to this guy for all this time? Why don't the people at the debates ask him more questions? So it gives him a little bump, but he has to follow up with another big win. And I just don't see that happening. The next primaries are in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I think, and he's not polling well in those places.
I've heard so many experts say over the years that the key in all this is you have to win your home state because nobody knows you better than the people of your home state. And when you don't, what does that tell the rest of the country? That's true, isn't it?
It's very true. I mean, the people up close are the ones who know you best. And I remember that criticism, though, of Bill Clinton when he was running, that his popularity numbers were very low in Arkansas, but you know, people know you best. And so they know all the little secrets in your closets. And I think probably with Marco Rubio, it wasn't just that. They have been able to see him up close. But I think he lost for the reason that he lost in other states too. And he wasn't conservative enough. He wasn't angry enough. He compromised on that immigration bill. And a lot of people saw that as amnesty. And that hard right Republican voter just was not willing to tolerate it. So he lost.
But if you look at who the golden boys were, the Republican Party, the last couple of years, the people that everybody touted as the best chances of getting it, his name was always at the top of the list. Every single time you'd hear his name, you'd hear Bobby Jindal's name over and over and over and over. He fizzled quickly. But how did he go from being one of those guys that everybody said is a can't-miss prospect, this is the guy who's probably our next president, to a guy that just never really seemed to have the interest he should have had? What happened?
He had kind of spikes and valleys. I mean, he sort of charged onto the scene as a Tea Party candidate, and he's young and he's well educated, and he has a great rags to riches story, which he talked about during his acceptance speech. So all of these issues made him a force to be reckoned with. But I think maybe he tried to ascend a little too quickly. It could just take one misstep, and you sort of fall off the scene in these presidential elections or in any election. And that night he stumbled and kept repeating himself and did badly in New Hampshire because Chris Christie sort of pointed out that he was like a little robot.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty big setback too.
And as we left yesterday, you had said Marco Rubio will be bailing by today, I think you said.
2 weeks ago, I said the 15th is his day that he announces he's done. He can't do it anymore because it just lined up that way. This was a big state to not win in. His home state of Florida was a big state to not win in. And there was no indication. You know, you talk about momentum. He just never really seemed to have the momentum he would need to make any kind of a difference.
And the question came up, and I don't know if Steve answered it, and forgive me, Bertrand, if that's the case, but Bill raised a great question. What happens to those delegates that Marco Rubio had, where do they go?
Well, it's one reason why you'll notice during his speech he said he's suspending his campaign, which they all say. But you want to use...
That bothers Bill more than anything in the world.
Oh, I heard you talk about that.
That phrase is ridiculous because suspend means
but
to temporarily...
But they have backers and what, you know, suspending your campaign, especially Marco Rubio, he'll be back, right? I mean, isn't that the way you do it? Suspend it?
I think so.
Not for this election, maybe in 4 years or 8 years, but he's not coming back this time around.
No, but he could be in play if this whole election goes down to the convention and Donald Trump does not get the number of delegates he needs. The delegates for candidates, and somebody will correct me, I'm sure if I'm up, the delegates for candidates who have dropped out on the second balloting process, they're free agents.
Oh.
So he has a little leverage to try to, you know, maybe send his delegates Ted Cruz's way. This is all, of course, if we end up with some sort of a brokered convention.
So do the three remaining guys at this point court him in some respect? Do they try to convince Marco Rubio that all things are good and I should be the guy? Does that go on?
Oh, yeah. They were doing it last night. Just I love after, you know, ripping him to shreds for months. And then when he finally steps down, Marco Rubio is just an American hero.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful
ran
for
a
his
great
part.
Campaign
he ran
they
a
all
great
said.
Campaign. You know, one thing, I don't know if he said this in his speech or I read this somewhere last night, but the reason he knew he was going to lose Florida, but the reason he stayed in is because he wanted his mother to be able to vote for him for president of the United States. And I thought
that is sweet.
And that would be, you know, if you're a principled person, you realize, you know, you owe all of this to your parents. Dad was a bartender. Mom was a maid.
Yeah.
He wanted to stick it out long enough so she could check that box.
All right. Well, there's that.
Does anybody need a tissue?
You got to vote for his mom.
I know, it's really sweet.
What if his mom came forward and said, you know what, I went Kasich at the last minute, I looked at the box. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kristen McQuarrie's here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It is Bill and Wendy on WGN, and Kristen McQuarrie is our guest. We're talking about what happened politically last night. A lot went down. No major surprises, as we mentioned. What exactly is the relationship at this point between Donald Trump and Chris Christie? It's a very confusing one to me. I used to watch soap operas, but I've never seen a soap opera like this. Are they friends? Are they enemies? Are they frenemies?
I think they're frenemies. I think they're friends by necessity. And I mean, Christie's home state went berserk when he endorsed Donald Trump and really saw
that Christie's wife went berserk.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people saw it as kind of a sellout move.
Mm-hmm. A sellout. What's the difference?
Yeah, just such a blatant play for vice president. So we'll see if, I mean, this is kind of what it's looking like. He's standing behind him. He's campaigning for him. Maybe he is a top contender for a running mate at some point.
He is, actually. He is one of the top contenders, right? Every list I see, it's the same six or seven names, and his name is always on there.
He is. It's just Donald Trump being from New York, it would make geographic sense for him to choose someone maybe from the Midwest or another big delegate state or big population state, and perhaps a woman. If that, you know, you want to kind of have balance on the ticket, and I'm just not sure what the calculus is if Christie fits that profile.
Sarah Palin's name keeps getting mentioned.
Oh, no.
You don't see that?
No.
Gary Busey's name keeps getting mentioned.
That I can see. Dressed as a woman.
Dressed as a woman, of course.
All right, so Chris Christie throws his support to Trump, and Ben Carson does too. Is it too late? I mean, it looks like Ben Carson's looking for a role in this possible legislation, this... you know, if Trump becomes,
it could be like in his cabinet or something.
Yes,
people
that's
have talked about he would be a great, you know,
commissioner of gentleness.
Isn't he though?
He's very gentle.
He would stroke your head and talk so softly. Right. He'd be so comforting.
He's very soothing, and he closes his eyes when he speaks like this. So,
Like Gilbert Gottfried,
he'd be like the minister of something. I think that's part of it, and I think a lot of the candidates do have a sincere. Effort to try to throw their supporters to who they think they can win. They're all united in that they don't want a Democrat. They don't want Hillary Clinton. So they are trying to shove their supporters a little bit to, you know, whoever they think can win.
Should we take some calls?
Yeah, please. 312-981-7200 is the way to do it.
Tom, you have a question for Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune.
I have a two-part question. One is, I thought the law said you had to be born in the United States of America to run for president. Why is Cruz allowed to stay there, number one? And number two, I don't live in Chicago, and I can't understand why we aren't allowed to vote for Madigan. And he controls our tax dollars also, not just Chicago's.
Okay. So you have to be a natural-born citizen, is the term in the Constitution. And the interpretation of that over the years has included people who were born overseas to American parents, like John McCain was born in Panama because he had parents who were in the military. You can't penalize in certain situations children who are born elsewhere if their parents are serving the country or are American citizens themselves. And as to the Madigan question, you know, he is a state lawmaker just like the other 177 lawmakers who represents a small district on the south side. And that it's just like, you know, he gets elected to his seat, and then the rest of the Democrats get to choose him as their leader. That's just the way it works. If you want to be anti-Madigan, you could have tried to help his opponent. He did have one. He lost badly last night, his opponent Jason Gonzalez. But it's difficult. Or you can just not send Democrats to Springfield because they're the ones who then choose him to be their speaker.
But if you have $50 to run for re-election or to run to get a nominator to get elected, and you have somebody like Madigan who has millions, what do you think your chances are of winning?
Well, just to play devil's advocate here, Bruce Rauner put a lot of money into his opponent, put a lot of money into a couple of races, and they lost last night. So it does take more than just money. The Madigan had a big fight on his hands. He actually had to go walk door to door in his district and kind of campaign like a real person. And he was reelected. So money doesn't always, you know, equate victory.
But it helps a lot and makes you more comfortable.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. It helps a lot. I mean, Madigan had lots of money to trash up his opponent, money to hire campaign workers, to have mailers, to have television commercials, to have boots on the ground the day of the election, knocking on people's doors, trying to get them to the polls. I mean, all of those things are how you win elections, and it all costs money.
Thank you so much, Tom. We appreciate your call.
Kristen, you were kind enough to do a little research. We had you on yesterday at the very top of the show, and we were saying that in addition to the five states that had primaries yesterday, you know, the U.S. has territories around the world, and one of those territories are the Northern Mariana Islands, which are a little bit north of the Philippines.
That's
if everybody
correct.
Wants to look at C8 on their maps.
Bingo.
we have a winner. All right.
Will you be on my trivia, like my church trivia night?
Yeah, I'd be happy to help you out with that. Sure, okay. Sure. All right, so the question I had is this. There's delegates, Wendy informed us yesterday, because I didn't even think they had delegates, but there are delegates
nine.
That come. There's nine of them. Or were you yelling at me no in German? I'm not sure.
Both.
Either way.
Yeah, and Trump got all nine of them. That's how I remember the story.
He ran the table in the Northern Mariana Islands.
They love him.
They love him. He's got a lot
huge.
Of friends from Northern Mariana Islands. So the question is this. He won. Okay, that's good. But now here's what happens. The Electoral College will come up at some point, and they're not represented at all, much like American Samoa or any other U.S. territory around the country, around the world. So what does it mean to those people who live in those territories who vote? Their votes don't count, do they?
They don't. I mean...
They don't.
It's so sad.
But they count to the extent that... The candidates are actually trying to court them because they, even if they can't be part of the Electoral College, they could still play a role in the delegate count. So let me give you a quick example. I just ran across this Time. It was Politico, I think, had a story.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton won two more delegates than Bernie Sanders from the Northern Marianas Islands.
Yeah.
So she won two, and I think, or she won four, and he won two. Four delegates. But do you know they put in like time and effort to track people down, including if you ordered a Hillary Clinton for President T-shirt on Facebook or online, and you had a Northern Marianos address, they reached out to you and emailed you and tried to get you to coalesce around the candidate. They did phone calls. They did like phone banking, emailing, and using social media to actually try to organize.
They did. It means that much to the party.
For four delegates. Wow. Because I think last time around with Obama, he was very good at just going after that delegate count, and the Clinton campaign was not as persistent about it. So now they are aggressively going after even these tiny little delegate.
And they
counts.
Have traditionally been an incredible predictor of who wins the election, the Northern Mariana Islands. I don't know how they do it.
I'm letting the people there pick my brackets.
Over in the Northern
Mariana
Islands?
Really,
yeah, the same people.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a listener who wants to ask you a question, Bill, but I'll pit you against Kristen McQueary. Can you name the only living president that is eligible for another term in the White House? And I don't know. You'll have to check
Bush.
Your facts.
Bush Herbert.
Bush the original mm-hmm. recipe Bush. let's see.
That's not
him?
The answer this person is giving.
Oh, well, he only served one term, so I'm thinking he would still be eligible. No?
I'm trying to think of who else it would
be. He liked peanuts.
Would it be Jimmy Carter?
That's what the answer is, according to this text.
Also because he was a one-termer?
Don't know the answer.
Yes. Okay.
I just wanted to throw it out there.
George Bush has got to be the other answer to that.
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
So listener, take that. There are two, not the only living president. Two of them.
Can we expect either of those gentlemen to enter the race, Kristen, do you think?
If there's a third-party resurgence,
then maybe.
Maybe.
All right, anyway.
Let's cross our fingers for the next 90-year-old candidate.
Yeah. That's who the GOP is going to put up instead of Trump, the original recipe.
All right. I would love to see that. That would be fun. Kristen, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank
it's Kristen McQueary. Read her in the Chicago Tribune. We're going to take a break, and then Steve will give you the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.